From a personal perspective, I kind of take a personal inventory and examine myself. I say, what are my strengths and how can I capitalize on building those into a brand?
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to find out the secrets of their success and to talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Last week, we talked with two of the top five finalists for the Outstanding CSR of the Year Award. This week, we have the privilege of talking with another two of the top finalists, Angie Nyenbury of Minnesota and Erica Bersol of Wisconsin. And we're continuing our discussion about titles in customer service. And do titles mean anything? Or do they have any kind of significance, whether it be to clients or coworkers or underwriters? And Angie, you made the argument in your essay that titles have very little meaning to clients and coworkers. Why do you feel this way?
Well, you know, when I started to think about the topic, I thought of my own experiences as well, you know, being a client or a customer. So the service providers that I think of every day that I have, whether it be a person on the phone or, you know, a salesperson or a car salesperson, you know, your realtor, whoever it is, you know, to me personally, it doesn't matter the title. What I kind of determine when I meet somebody or they're providing a service is, you know, are they friendly, approachable, and most importantly, can they solve my concerns or my problems? If they don't have the authority or the knowledge to make the decision themselves, are they willing to follow up, research, and get an answer, and then follow up in a timely fashion? So I personally don't think it matters the title of the person. It only matters how they interact with me and how they make me feel from a customer service experience standpoint and how important I feel as a client. I think if they're friendly, approachable, knowledgeable, if they can have alternatives and solutions for my issues and help me as the client be more successful, I think that's what's most important.
You also talk in your essay about the need to create your own personal brand. Can you explain what you mean by personal brand?
You know, every organization, I think, especially large ones that come to mind, Wells Fargo, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, when you go in there, you know what you're going to expect. I mean, you have an association with that brand. You know, Wells Fargo with the Stagecoach, together we'll go far. We all know what that means. We all know what the Stagecoach looks like. So from a personal perspective, though, what I feel it is I kind of take a personal inventory and examine myself. And when I do that honestly, I say, what are my strengths and how can I capitalize on building those into a brand? So personally, I believe that my strengths are customer service and building a rapport with clients. If those are my personal strengths, so over the years, what I've tried to do is build on those and become, you know, that I'm known for that in the industry. So I'm not going to tell you, hey, my desk is spotless. I'm the most organized person ever, because those are not necessarily my strengths. My strengths are client first, follow up, going out to meet with them, talking with them on the phone, whatever hours it needs to be. You know, I don't necessarily work my hours, I work client hours. You know, if a client calls and it's 5 minutes to five, I will stay whatever needs to take to get that done. So I would say that capitalizing on what I know are my strengths, and then the clients know what to expect from Angie. So that's my personal brand that I've worked hard to develop my reputation, basically.
So for anybody else who's looking to develop their own personal brand, what would you tell them as far as, you know, what would be the steps that you would go through to figure out what your personal brand is? Or, you know, what things should you be focusing on to try to develop your own brand?
Well, I think the first step is to examine yourself honestly and, you know, perhaps even take an inventory or have other people that work with you help you determine what are your strengths and then how to build on those. For me, I love customer service. It comes kind of naturally to me. So I think you need to capitalize on those strengths and then even improve on those. You know, for myself, I pretty much always enjoy being in a service position, but now I can actually even add more value by expanding from the insurance agent hat to a risk manager hat. So it's also growing personally with those skills and the knowledge over time.
So what are some of those things that you said, in a lot of ways, customer service comes naturally for you? What are some of those skills that you have that you feel make you well-suited for this field?
I would say listening, being observant. I've had situations over the time where I've looked at a client's website or seen something in the newspaper about a new product offering that my client has, you know, then call them about it. So, you know, listening, being observant, building a rapport, being involved in their operation. So I have one client in particular that before they do any kind of new product or new service, they basically call us to let us know and then see if there's any insurance implications. So that's telling you that they're understanding the importance of insurance in their overall, you know, corporate decision making before they do things that are maybe a little risky. Or if they do decide to proceed, I can help them put some guidelines into place about things perhaps that they should be, you know, either contracts or just ideas about safety for their employees or clients, and then have them think about those things while they're putting the plan together. And then, you know, responding to changes, because there's changes in the industry, you know, new products become available. You know, a client might have a large contract with the government that comes up and they might need to increase their limits on umbrella or things like that. Or maybe they expand overseas and you need to look at international exposures. All of those things, just being very involved almost on a daily basis with some of your larger clients and involved in that decision making with them as a valuable part of their team.
What advice, Angie, would you give to a young person just starting out in customer service in the insurance field?
Well, you know, I have two teenage boys, actually, myself. My sons will be 19 and 17 in October. And, you know, I'm amazed with kids with their technology, you know, the knowledge they have, you know, how quickly they can adapt to technology. And often they help me. But one of the things I think that some young people struggle with is that they always want to rely on technology. Not everyone, but in general, sometimes they want to rely on technology, emails, you know, things like that. And some clients still enjoy that personal face-to-face meeting or picking up the phone and having a conversation. So I would perhaps tell them, yes, technology has done many great things for the insurance industry, but it doesn't replace that face-to-face or that personal conversation on the phone. And so I would tell them to maybe think a little bit outside the box, take cues from their customers about how they want service offerings delivered to them. You know, what's important to the client should be important to the CSR. And then another thing I encourage all the young people to do is to take the CISR program. It's an excellent program. It's, you know, gives you your continuing education for your license. At the same time, it gives you a baseline knowledge for important coverages. And, you know, it can start to give them some confidence about coverages. They can feel like they can speak, I think, intelligently about certain coverages or aspects of it. And then I encourage all the young folks here as well to ask questions. If they come to me with a question, I never treat them like it's a silly question. You know, the only question that's silly is one that they don't ask. I think just ask questions, try to learn a lot. And the insurance industry, you can continue to work for the agency side. You can go into underwriting. You know, if you like math, you could do more of the actuarial or the analytics piece that goes with claims and things like that. You can go into safety. I mean, there's just so many things with an insurance that you can do depending on what you enjoy doing.
Thanks, Angie. So now, Erica, going back to the essay topic, talking about whether or not titles make a difference in customer service and insurance, how do you feel about this topic? Do titles make a difference?
I think they do. They make a difference to the employees. They can kind of act as a, you know, create a benchmark for professional growth. You know, maybe you start out as a CSR and you advance to an account manager and then to an account executive or that sort of thing. It's also, as I said in my article, a pretty inexpensive way for an agency owner to, you know, pad their employees' ego. You know, to me, you know, you could pretty much call me whatever you want and I'm going to do my job. But, you know, it's an inexpensive way for agencies to reward employees.
Now, you also cited a study in your essay. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting. This was a study conducted in 2014 that kind of talked about what you were just mentioning, I think. Can you kind of go into that study, what the study is and what they found?
Yeah. Well, as you know, job titles help organizations manage their human capital. Well, they did this study at the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they learned that throughout the study, the research suggested that self-reflective job titling can be important for identity expression and stress reduction. And they offered meaningful implications for research on identity and emotional exhaustion, which I thought was pretty interesting.
So you said self-reflective titling or job titling?
Job titling, yeah. Allowing an employee to kind of pick their own title according to what they perceive their job function to be, which I thought was pretty interesting. And they did this study at the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Okay, so these employees at Make-A-Wish Foundation are choosing their own job titles.
Yeah, essentially that's what they had, these different study groups, and they allowed them to choose their own titles based on what they perceived their job duties to be. Their research suggested that this sort of titling was important for identity expression and stress reduction, which I thought was interesting.
So, Erica, what advice would you have for somebody young who's just getting into customer service in insurance? Would you have any advice for somebody just starting out?
Absolutely. I would say take any classes that you can, any educational opportunities that are available to you, take them. The National Alliance, of course, has a whole internal treasure trove of good educational opportunities. And just take as many of those as you can and pay attention, listen, be a good listener. I think that's important too.
So you mentioned educational opportunities, and you've been working on furthering your own education. You've obtained the CISR designation, and you're now working towards your CIC. What is kind of your drive in pursuing this education?
I think, you know, going back to titling, it's kind of the level of credibility and peer respect that comes along with having a designation. It means you've put in the time and you're serious about what you're doing. It's not just something that pays the bills. It's something that you are, you know, really serious about achieving.
All right. Thanks, Erica. You can read both Angie and Erica's essays right here on the Knowledge Alliance, as well as the essays of the other three finalists. You can also find more information on the Outstanding CSR of the Year Award, as well as the CISR designation program and other educational opportunities on thenationalalliance.com. Make sure to also check us out on LinkedIn and let us know your thoughts on today's podcast. Do you think titles make a difference? Drop us a comment and let us know what you think. This is Speaking Insurance.